I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right, and we're back. We're back recording.
It's about time.
It is about time. We're going to have a lot of comments saying it's about time. Yes. Welcome back, everybody, to the Smokescreen Podcast. I am your host, Tex Winter. And
I'm a co-host.
If somebody knows who that is, you get bonus points because that's what we're going to talk about. This is number 23, man. 23.
Number 23, and that number just jumps out at you, doesn't it?
It kind of jumps out at me. We were going to just do like a catch-up thing, how you been type of thing, because me and James hadn't got a chance to talk a lot either over the last few weeks and holidays and all that good stuff. But 23 has a significant number for me, for damn sure. James is also a sports nut, so you know where we're going with this.
I think
you probably already know where we're going. I probably can't play all this, but it's my ringtone on my phone. If I play this, you'll know where we're going. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to have to talk a little bit just in case we get copyright tag on YouTube. And now, from North Carolina, at guard 6'6", Michael Jordan. Anyway, let me stop that. Sorry. So that's what we're going to talk about, I think. This was James's thing. He's a sports guy. And we did a video on your channel, your original Daily Useless Sports Trivia, probably 2 years ago or more.
It's my only green screen.
Yes, that's right. It was kind of like a – because you would at the time said, I want us to do some interviews. Let me practice.
Yep.
And it was kind of an interview, and it regarded Michael Jordan and me and how I grew up and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Because, you know, in my life and, you know, the people I come into contact with, you were the biggest Michael Jordan fan I knew.
Right.
And, hell, it's a sports channel. You can't have a legitimate sports YouTube channel and not talk about Michael Jordan. So I was like, well, hell, this, you know, two birds with one stone.
There you go. And I know some people may sit here, we're talking sports and go, eh, but it's not just about sports. I mean, James is going to pull this out of me or whatever. He's going to run this show this week for sure. But it's more about like what it meant to me and growing up and all that kind of stuff. So it's beyond the sport. But yes, we're talking Jordan.
And what people, you know, probably don't know. I mean, only people that really, really know us would know that this is kind of how we became friends.
Yes.
I mean, we you know, worked together and things like that, but I knew he was a big Michael Jordan fan, and I was always ribbing him, you know, talking about Wilt Chamberlain better.
I remember the conversation in the back folding boxes.
We would always go back and forth, and then here we go. A couple weeks later, I'd be like, hey, did you know I read this about Wilt? And then he'd come out with something about Michael Jordan. And we went back and forth. And I actually, over the years, I've swayed on that. I mean, you know, yes, he's tall, but Michael Jordan wasn't born 7'1". You know what I mean? There is a big difference. We have to admit it. And I'm not, you know, throwing shade on any 7-footers. But you're not getting cut from any team in school.
No.
If you're 7, I don't care how clumsy you are.
Nope.
You're getting the minutes under your belt, and you know, you're going to make the team if you're that tall. But you know, Jordan, like you said in your little intro, he's 6'6". I mean, I had an uncle that was 6'6". Those guys are out there, you know.
Yes, and that's you know, point guard, shooting guard average for the NBA.
Right.
For sure. I mean, I'm 6'3", and I started in high school as a center because I was already tall.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And by the time I was a senior, I was a point guard.
Yeah. So. And I was just reading that article yesterday. You know, there was this kid in the local school here. He's 6'8", junior, and he's already got this huge article written about him. I mean, there are perks that come along with good genetics.
Yes. And he damn sure has genetics.
So, you know, with Jordan, you have to look at it from that context. First off, you have Wilt, who was playing, and we'll get off the Wilt Chamberlain thing, but I just want to say, you know, his numbers, for a numbers guy like me, were ridiculous. But you have to take them into context.
Right.
He didn't have Akeem guarding him, you know, or Patrick Ewing or anybody like that guarding him. I'm not dogging any of the people he played with, but he was – probably 4 to 6 inches taller than any other center that was around.
Oh, absolutely. And
if there was a tall one that could look him in the eye, they were not as academically,
yeah,
athletically talented as Will.
Right.
Was.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot talk sports, any sport for that matter, without errors, and because of rule changes and all this kind of stuff. So you absolutely have to take that into account.
Who
he played against. And that's something we'll probably get into, I'm sure. People argue today that Jordan didn't play against anybody. People, these kids think that 90s, you know, 80s and 90s players were not as good as today's flashy guards, but that's just not the case.
If we're being honest, you know, a few years before Jordan came into the league, it was already experiencing its renaissance with –
absolutely.
Yes. You know, Magic and Bird.
Yeah, I will always say that for one thing. It doesn't matter because, I mean, facts are facts. But because Jordan probably took it to another level.
That's
but
what I was
Bird
say.
And Magic saved the NBA.
Yeah.
By all means.
And those,
there's no question about
those
it.
Those Lakers teams and those Showtime Lakers teams and those Celtics teams from that era,
yes,
are as good as any teams out there today. And here comes Jordan. He comes along. Yes, they won a national championship in college, so he had this winning, you know, edge to him already. He knew what it was like to be a winner, and he goes on to a crappy Bulls team.
Oh, yes.
And stayed there, and you can tell better than me because you watched a lot of their games. It was a different NBA then. You weren't getting players, the best players from all the teams.
No, no super teams.
You had to practice and build teams from within to challenge those teams from best teams from the East. And it took him a few years, but then once they got their stride, it was over. It
took him a lot of years.
Yeah.
I mean, people think, you know, that's one of the things that will come in is, well, he had Scottie Pippen. Pippen wasn't immediately a superstar. And, you know, it took years and years and years of grinding and building. And, you know, then you got to the later stages where they started, you know, they made the playoffs instantly with Jordan, just like,
yes,
you know, today's
exactly.
LeBron teams will, yep, make the playoffs instantly. But getting past those teams was a different story. And, you know, of course, we'll get into all the Pistons and,
yeah,
Bad Boys and the weightlifting and the, you know, he gained 40 pounds because you had to, in those days, you go to the basket, you're getting hit. It's not. It's completely different with hand checking, you know. So,
I'll tell you. You know, just my thing was here in North Carolina. You know, they call it Tobacco Road.
Yes.
You know,
I have that old book, Tobacco Road.
We have great college basketball.
We do.
In our state. I mean, anybody in the country would know that. So it's a big deal when you get to March Madness in North Carolina. At least when Chris and I were in school. I mean, your teachers would roll a cart in with,
yes,
the TV and let you watch those games. And I remember the that 82 team winning the national championship. But I remember James Worthy, you know, and Sam Perkins and them, you know, or Brad Daugherty. And
right,
them,
yeah.
You know, those were huge names. And Jordan was, what, a freshman?
Freshman.
So, yeah. I mean, he you see that highlight of him, you know, hitting that winning shot, but he was surrounded by a bunch of great players on that team his freshman year. So, but that was my first taste of him when he hit that shot, and I guess it introduced him to pretty much the world. But then I lost his name. I never followed him after those years when he was still at Carolina and he was winning National Player of the Year and stuff like that. Until like the shoes came out, the Air Jordans came out after he was already in the league, you
right.
know, but you followed him still at Carolina after that championship team, right?
Yeah, my mom got me into basketball as a kid. She was, you know, a basketball player herself and went on to play, and she introduced me to Jordan at Carolina. So that's – it was before, you know, the Bulls and NBA and all that stuff. I was, you know, I was pretty young, obviously, then, but – you know, Magic and Bird were the thing then, obviously, in
yes.
the NBA. So I followed him out of Carolina, and because even she knew it was just there's so many untold stories too about Jordan in those days, and about, you know, coaches and players seeing him play, not necessarily in a game, but on whether it's practice or the Olympic thing or whatever, saying, damn, this is probably the best player I've ever seen. He's not even he's a damn freshman or,
right.
you know, or a sophomore, whatever it was at the time, throughout his college career. So Yeah, it started there for me. What's crazy is I don't watch a lot of college basketball anymore, but then again, I don't watch the NBA.
Same here.
Because when he left, it was over for me, you know? And it's just, and the rule changes.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I've gained a lot more. I've always loved Kobe, but I've gained a lot more respect for Kobe over the years, because that's how I started YouTube. Was I was going back to, you know, when I kind of learned about YouTube, I was going back to watch Michael Jordan clips. Because, you know, I had recorded every game on VHS, but they're all gone. You know, and you just, that's another thing we'll probably get into too, is that, you know, the footage back then compared to today's HD and all that stuff. But I was going back to see old classic Jordan clips. That's how I started the YouTube thing and discovered it. You know what I mean?
That truly is, not to get sidetracked, but that truly is the beauty of YouTube.
Yes.
Is to be able to go back. You can have a memory.
And look it up.
And look it up. Yep.
and see it right there and find it in 10 seconds.
And these kids are so spoiled, man. I don't want to get off on that tangent.
No,
either,
that's a whole nother
honestly,
podcast. You
honestly,
know.
Man, I mean, I watch.
Okay, boomer.
I talk sports with my son, and, you know, he can watch clips anytime he wants to of any player on any team, of any sport, yes. of any era. Anytime, and
as long as they had footage,
as long as
they
had footage,
as long as as cameras were invented, yes.
And dude, we had to, like you said, excuse me, record it. You know, watch it on television, record it, or check out library books and read about these people, or get Sports Illustrated,
right.
Sports Illustrated the magazine, and read about these people and stuff. You know, it's a different world. So I totally see. Yeah, you going back and wanting to, you know, revisit the memories that were gone when all this VHS got thrown away.
Yeah, exactly. And because, it's funny when we're getting sidetracked, but you remember I told you I invented the DVR?
Yes.
That's why. And now it's a whole separate story, but I really did.
Right.
But I would record even when I wasn't, you know, when I was there, I would record all the games, and especially when I wasn't home or whatever, I would damn sure record them. But I thought about that because there was a time or two where I forgot to set it, you know, for a Bulls game. Because we had WGN here, and that's all we had was, mm-hmm. as far as sports, was WGN and the Braves team for baseball, the Braves channel. Was it TBS?
And
I guess it was Turner,
TBS,
yeah.
Yep. And people don't realize that back in the early days, ESPN was not what it is now. They were showing billiards and freaking volleyball and
bowling.
Weird stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
It wasn't 24 hours of the best, you know, the big four sports.
Right, right.
They got their footing by playing like
stuff. If you went to ESPN, you got what you got.
Yeah,
there was no flipping through a menu.
First thing in the morning, it'd be some chick working out, for hours.
Right.
You'd have to say, oh, she's still on there, and then wait for Sports.
Oh shit, the darts championship zone. There's no basketball talk. Exactly.
So you know, it's a totally different time. So a lot of these players today are getting a lot of heat, whereas. If this social media age and this DVR and every game is streamed, it's hard to imagine how big some of those players were, especially Jordan, how big he would be. And, oh, God. I mean, he's still big today. And
He's
in his 50s.
Yes, 60. He's 60 now, right? He's 58, 60?
He's 56. He'll be 57 his birthday.
Oh, that's right. I'm jumping ahead. I was thinking about yesterday. It was 60. I don't know.
You know, when we talked about doing this, you made a great point about people have to be getting tired of hearing his name.
Yeah, because you watch any interview to this day regarding NBA players, any old school player or whatever, when they're on these podcasts or sports shows or whatever, now they're analysts. It doesn't matter what the conversation is. It doesn't matter if they're talking about the finals or some random team in the West or whatever. Michael Jordan is brought up, and even when they're interviewing them about their careers, somebody always interjects. So you played against Michael Jordan, and they get at least one question in about him.
Right.
And you know that gets on their nerves.
It has to.
Now, they have all these great stories. There's tons of videos about great Jordan stories and those guys telling them. But you know that gets old.
Yeah, because
he's,
this is their moment.
He hadn't played in how many years now? You know, since the, and I don't count the Wizard days, but it happened. It is, you know, it did happen. But that was for a different reason. He knew he was going to drop his career stats for that because he owned 5% of the team, and you know that whole thing that went down. But anyway.
Yeah, and that's a good point you bring up. I'm glad he came home. You know, it's,
yes.
It's good to know that he's right down the road in Charlotte as an owner of the Charlotte Hornets again, you know.
Yeah, I remember I wish he was a better owner. I'm not really sure what's going on with the team, but I don't know if it's all him or not. But I remember when – you know, George Shen sold us out and left, and the whole, you know, we didn't have a team. Then Bob Johnson came in with the Bobcats. I hated it. I hated the name because I was, you know, season ticket holder. It came with my mom's job, and so we had, you know, nosebleed tickets. And I remember thinking that back in the day. There was little rumors about it, like Jordan wants to buy the Hornets and stuff. And then he got the Bobcat shit happened, and then he tried to get in that, and that actually became a thing. And he was like, but he wouldn't sell him the little tiny piece of
right,
it. And
right.
He was like, yeah, we, you know, because you want him to, you know, he's from here. You know, obviously, he, you know, Chicago, you know, he you know, had a, he lived there essentially during the seasons.
Yeah.
And travel, but he's, you know, he's a Carolina boy, and you wanted him here, and you felt like, being the GOAT, and yes, I'm saying the GOAT in basketball itself, that you would have, you know, you want him on your team.
Right.
You know, and so far that hadn't quite worked out as far as the Hornets go, but that's a whole nother story.
And, you know, calling him the GOAT, and we can get into that, and there's no need for me, I thought about it before we started, there's no need for me to read off his stats and stuff. I mean, those are out there, and everybody knows them, and most people know them off the top of their head. All the important ones, especially, you know, these days when, you know, with the LeBron argument, you know, we're past, you know, the Kobe days ended. Kobe got up there in the argument, and then LeBron got in and he got in the argument, and now Kobe's retired. And it seems to be that's the common argument. And people can compare stats to stats and rings to rings and stuff. But in your mind, I mean, and what specifically is it for you that makes you want to call him the GOAT? And I'm sure stats come into it.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, you know, you can't just compare. Like, if anybody's just saying rings or whatever, just that don't make any sense. Because, I mean, then you're going back to old Celtics. I mean, so that's just a dumb argument. But first off, let me say, it bothers me that people just skip Kobe.
Yeah.
That's number one. To me, I mean, Kobe is number two as far as all time. You know, if I had to, you know, I'm not putting together a list here, but you know what I'm saying. If I had to, Kobe's number two for me because it was so similar. And the passion and the work ethic and the killer instinct on court was so similar. The difference between those two was off court, you know.
Right.
Jordan still wants to beat you at cards or racing home or whatever it is. Doesn't matter what the hell it is. Kobe can turn that off. He could not, you know, whether it's golf or, you know, eating contests, it don't matter. That's what you hear from, and this is not just me. This is people that played against him, with him, whatever. He was an assassin. Like, it was a switch was flipped, you know. And
I think it rubbed off on his teammates.
Absolutely did. The practices you hear, I mean, everything you hear about when you listen to, you know, Pippen or B.J. Armstrong or Steve Kerr, whoever it is on those teams, practice was more intense than any game, so the games were easy to them in those days. And so it's a combination of that being, you know, he was literally the only person that could, I think, and I mean, you could argue a little bit LeBron – and Kobe for sure, but literally take over a game if he needed to and win it. And because what really bothers me about today's NBA is I watch the finals,
right.
You know, and I watch a game here and there, but mostly just the finals. I've just seen in the 90s, 80s, 90s, whatever, if you're down by 10 with 3 minutes to go, you're still in that game.
Yes.
Today, they sit down. They're out. They're out. They quit. And I've seen it, and I've seen that happen to these big superstars today, and I don't understand it.
I don't get that.
Because to me, a 10-point game with 3 minutes to go is still very much a game, and it's just not, you know. And the rule changes bug me and all that too. But anyway, back to Jordan himself. It's just, you just never have seen somebody, not only as athletic because he has the highest vertical in NBA history. People don't think that because, you know, they can't see that on old VHS tapes or YouTube videos. You can't see the angles like you can today and the HD clarity and the, you know what I mean, the running cameras along the court.
Yeah,
and
that makes such a difference.
It really does.
It's presented really well today.
Absolutely. And that's fine. That's great. It's mm-hmm. just that you can't really compare, like, you know, the you know, for example, you see somebody dunking, you know, it's clear today their head's over the rim if it's a LeBron or somebody. But, yeah. you know, you couldn't see that as clearly. You catch certain angles, but you have to freeze frame it on right. a VHS tape or video. But anyway, so it was just a combination of you'd never seen the moves.
No.
But not only the athletic, the moves.
Yeah, because you had Dr. J before.
Exactly.
And
it was Dr. J on, I don't know, steroids.
Yeah.
But you never saw anybody else with not only – you saw other people athletic, and I would – and maybe you could say even as athletic.
Right.
But you never saw that – what I call the grace.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. And so there's a lot of things. It's not only the stats and all that stuff, because he could literally have scored 50 a game if he wanted to, even in those days, even with the beating. But it's like – You know, going up against the Bad Boy Pistons, who at the time I hated. I loved the old, you know, watching interviews today about them and Rodman and stuff like that, especially. But
yes,
you know, you take two or three years to put on 40 pounds of muscle to get through one team in the Eastern Conference Finals, because their whole game plan with the Jordan rules was to beat you down, literally.
And yeah, that's such a hard thing to imagine. They wouldn't get by with that.
No, you can't. You can't hand check and you can't touch them, and you get free reign to the rim. And so imagine today. And you know, that's one thing a lot of people bring up is people like, you know, Bird and Jordan and the big names from the 80s and 90s. These dudes would be scoring 45-50 a game today.
Yeah, they
no
should.
Doubt.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, you know, people will talk about like Curry and being the 3-point. I mean, I think he's probably the cleanest shooter in history, no doubt.
Right. But another Carolina boy.
Yeah, exactly. Think about if they shot 3-pointers back in the day, what Bird would have.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, he got started late on that.
Yeah. I mean, think about if they just didn't shoot him. It was a whole different thing. You had a big man, you know, that was it. That was the play. So because people don't see the flashiness as often in the 80s and 90s, they think they can't do it. But they practiced that. They all played street ball.
Right. That's right.
Everybody practiced the same drills that you see today.
Yeah, Rucker Park, you know, that's been around forever.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Those
so
cats were doing some stuff.
It was those days. It was a different mentality. It was almost like, you know, think about Pistol Pete. Think about Pete Maravich. He was, you know, if you watch his story, read his story, whatever, watch the movie about him, whatever it may be, he had those he thought he was a way ahead of his time and shot down a lot of it because you didn't need to do that behind the back. You know what I mean? You didn't need to go through your legs right there.
Yeah.
You know, so it just wasn't done.
Yeah.
But it was practiced and they could do it. So absolutely. When you just because you don't see it as often, it wasn't as flashy, doesn't mean it didn't exist.
And I'll say this, as far as LeBron specifically goes. I'll give him his credit. Yeah, I've thought about this a lot, as a matter of fact, as LeBron in general. In my lifetime, it's hard to imagine anybody with living up to the hype as well as he did. You know, I've thought of like a Peyton Manning who, you know, was getting press at a really early age, and then he lived up to it and exceeded it.
Or was it Tim Couch?
Yeah.
He was on Sports Illustrated in high school, and then what happened to him?
Yeah, and so LeBron has really blown my mind in that aspect. And LeBron is a really, really well-rounded player.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, this is not LeBron hate. This is not like an anti-LeBron, you know, podcast.
My personal thing, and I would say there are probably a lot of people in this camp that bothers me, is the way he left Cleveland the first time.
Yep.
The way he's been so open to leaving places instead of sticking it out through tough times and building something, because any owner and GM's going to build around him. Anything he wants, he could have. He doesn't have patience.
He runs the show wherever he goes. He's basically the GM.
And so my thing is watching him jump from place to place chasing rings, to me, that's not LeBron the player. That's something about LeBron himself that for me keeps him from being in that GOAT argument, because it's easy to go to a prefab team that is guaranteed to win you about 60 games a year. You know, I mean, if right. they don't, you know, everybody's going to be, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing, fired. You know, and I can't say that I blame them, but I kind of do at the same time, because if you can do it the way it is today and you can get a ring out of it, I mean, you are winning the ring.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, Jordan and Bird and Magic and people, they've been asked this type of thing, and they would never, ever want to go join.
And I believe when they say it.
I do believe when they say it. It's completely authentic. They would never, ever want to go join their competition, because Jordan, using him as an example, came in wanting to beat Larry and Magic. That's what he wanted to do. He didn't want to join them.
Right.
You would have never saw Magic and Larry Bird try to get on the same team.
No.
Ever.
Nope.
There was too much pride, but, you know, something almost, I guess that kind of overrides championships, because that was their goal, to win as many championships as possible, but doing it, quote unquote, the right way.
Agreed.
And I'm doing air quotes here. Of course.
Now, let's be honest here. The money is amazing these days. Now, these guys are getting paid ridiculous amounts. And let us not forget where that money comes from. It's us.
Yes.
These people who work hard for their money are paying these tickets, buying this merch, and keeping these people relevant. And then to just say, things are going tough here, guys. See you later.
Right.
After this guy might have spent, you know, $100 that he didn't have to get his son a jersey. The next day, you're on a plane somewhere else, and this kid's sitting here with this jersey going, what the hell? It's hard to get invested in somebody like a LeBron that's going to jump around.
And I think even you know, younger people who watch the modern NBA and are, you know, huge LeBron fans or whatever, if you really sit down and think about it, just think about that. You know, I mean, it just didn't happen. It didn't happen that way before. If, you know, and arguably, there's a lot of people, like, for example, Charles Barkley. He never won a ring. Should have.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, he went against Michael.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But he's one of those great, you know, one of the greatest power forwards of all time, but he don't have any hardware to show for it. So you can't just argue
Patrick
rings.
Patrick Ewing. Yep.
So many. So that does, you know, kind of counter the ring argument. But at the same time, with the Jordan thing, come on. Six rings, never a game seven,
yeah, that's
and
nuts.
Six finals MVPs, and you know good and damn well it would have been eight.
There's no doubt.
No doubt.
No, I don't. I've never heard anybody argue that.
Right.
I just don't. It would have been eight in a row.
Eight in a row.
No doubt.
And I've never heard any pro player at that time that played argue against that either.
Yeah,
any analyst,
barring a massive injury or their freaking plane crash, and I hate to say that.
Well, right, no,
I mean,
right.
Seriously, if the teams made it to the court healthy, there's eight in a row.
Absolutely, no question. And there's no doubt and it's not just me being, you know, partial to Jordan. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that knows anything about basketball and played during that era, or commentated or coached during that era.
Yeah.
Period.
And that's just the truth of the matter. And they built that. And
right.
Phil Jackson, you know, wow. That
hey,
you know,
Phil Jackson's best attribute, handling egos.
How cool is that?
And then on top of that, I came in, said Tex Winter. The, you know, triangle offense. Now, that wasn't a brand new thing. That was ran in some colleges over there on the West Coast. But triangle in the NBA was new. That was different. That was crazy. It's complicated. And Jordan was actually resistant to that too. But if you notice, if you're a Bulls fan,
yeah,
there wasn't much triangle in the fourth quarter.
Dude.
Because that was his quarter. You know what I'm saying?
And when we were young, there's not a playground you could be on bedroom with a Nerf goal where somebody didn't say Jordan's name. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
No.
He was.
I think we mentioned this in your old video. He tied one time for the most popular person in the world. He tied with God.
That's just insane.
I mean, you know, you've seen, you see videos or documentaries of some, you know, in some third world country, and there's a kid wearing a Jordan jersey, you know, and probably on top of that, a lot of 2003 Panther Super Bowl jerseys, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's no, so seriously, I mean, seriously, at the time, you know, and so,
yeah,
I'll tell you what though, I will say this before we, before whatever you're going to grill me on next, but. But still, though, my, you know, my favorite documentary is of all time about basketball, probably documentary period.
What's that?
Is Larry and Magic?
Oh yes, yeah.
Courtship of Rivals is my favorite sports documentary period.
I know you and I watched it a few times when I was here.
I probably watched it 20 times.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I highly recommend anybody out there who's
even if you're remotely, not a basketball fan, yeah. A sports fan in general. It's not about that. It's about two dudes who are essentially the same,
yeah,
from way different backgrounds.
Yep.
It was almost a destiny thing. It almost makes me believe in destiny. You know what I'm saying?
It really does.
It really pulls on the heartstrings too. So anyway, so believe it or not, yeah, even with all the Jordan DVDs I have, my favorite sports documentary is Larry and Magic.
It is. That's a good one. Please go watch it. And speaking of documentaries, the Bulls are coming out with one.
Oh my God. Dude. I'm
starting to see more commercials for it, and it's going to be the real deal.
I cannot believe that this was secret to me till last year.
Yeah, I know.
Because they recorded The Last Dance, and the reason, just for you know anybody that may not know, they're calling this The Last Dance, was because Phil Jackson in 97-98 season, when he passed out the plan, he put on there The Last Dance, like the title of a book, in a question mark. And little did we know, they recorded everything like a reality show.
God dang.
So now they start marketing this a year ago, and we're coming out next year, right? Or is it late this year or next year?
I think it's late this year.
Late this year, yeah, because it started coming out last year. We're thinking, damn, there's already a year away.
Yeah, and we're like, how did we never hear of this?
Exactly. So you're going to see some modern, you know, modern interviews with all the old players and coaches and whatever, even Jordan, and the footage from 97-98, you know, the Last Dance season when they won the last ring before they broke up the Bulls, Jerry Reinsdorf, that bastard. Anyway.
Yes. And so that's going to be one to keep on your radar. Any of you guys that are fans of basketball from back in what I think is the best era ever. I mean.
Yes.
And that run they had is just phenomenal. And I'm sure we'll get some insights that, you know, we're going to see some new things we haven't seen. That's why everybody's so hungry for it.
Yeah, and you know, and the you know, and things like that, man. You know how it is. It's kind of like Uncle Rico. You know,
exactly.
When I watch old Jordan stuff, videos, clips, highlights, you know, interviews about him or whatever, it just takes me back to those days, and it's all the woulda, coulda, shoulda stuff, you know. But it was deeper than that for me. It wasn't just like it was because in those days, I don't know if kids these days have real role models. I don't know. Maybe they do.
Yeah,
but it made me dream. It made me dream when I was young, and he made me dream. And I don't know if this is exactly the same today or not. I can't really speak for that, but that's what was important to me is it gave me a dream, and it kept me out of a lot of trouble, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I dedicated everything to basketball and went all the way there, and I ruined it myself for the college level. And that's my fault. We won't talk about that here necessarily, but it's like that's what everything that was the world to me, and it was. And so when I watch these things and talk about these things,
a million of you around.
Yes,
around the country,
absolutely,
and
absolutely.
It's just nuts, man. The reach.
Absolutely.
And honestly, it's hard for young kids today to realize what it's like to live in a world where somebody's name's not on a shoe that's not a designer.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Dress shoe.
Exactly.
I mean, we had, you know, what, those Converse that Magic and Bird
Yeah,
wore.
You had Converse
and when
come out first.
And they started their colors.
Right.
Everybody got them. But they didn't have their name on them.
It wasn't quite this. It was kind of, you know, people called them, oh, I got the Birds or
yes.
I got the Magics.
Yes.
But yeah, it was more of a, you know, because that was their marketing ploy with the same they used to bring the NBA back, you know, Celtics versus Lakers. So, you know, you picked your colors, you know.
That's all it was.
That's all it was. And then, but the Air Jordan revolutionized everything. And kids today, you know, they're just, that's just a normal thing.
It,
it
really
was not
is.
Normal then.
It was not, guys. And it's so crazy to think about how you, I still remember hearing about it. Have you heard about the Air Jordans or seeing kids come to school in them? And I'm like, whoa. What, this is what all the hype's about. Let me see that logo. And you got the basketball with the wings on
yes.
it.
Yes.
And it
that
says
was
Air
just
Jordan on
badass
there.
Badass to me, man.
And it's so cool, man. And there's a lot of guys that honestly, that they should all send a percentage of their earnings to the man who started it all.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of multi-millionaires. Now, we just watched that Kevin Hart documentary.
Yes.
I mean, now there's like
and Kevin Hart,
Kevin
you know,
Hart just got a
Nike deal.
Nike.
Yeah, right.
So everybody that
I mean, you have pro gamers. Ninja has an Adidas contract. Adidas, whatever you want
to
call
me.
Him.
You know,
he's the first gamer, you know, e athlete or whatever they're calling him.
Yeah.
To sign a shoe deal, so it's just normal now for and DJs have it, you know.
And people thought it was gonna be a fad. And,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, if his stats declined, the shoes are not going to sell. And this is just stupid on Nike's part. No. It was genius. And
it's still genius because they're still sought after more than any other shoe, any current players, period, even LeBron.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still sneakerheads out there that, and for me, I don't collect Yeezys and LeBrons and Kobe's. It's Jordan's. That's it.
That Jumpman logo is as recognizable
yes.
as the McDonald's arches.
Absolutely.
I might be stretching it a touch there, but not much.
I don't think you are.
I really believe anybody that sees that logo with no writing, nothing, just sees that silhouette of him jumping, I'm telling you, that it's changed the world, man.
It really has. It made it global.
Yeah.
And now you got a huge basketball market in China and stuff because of all that, you know, especially the Dream Team stuff.
And, you know, again, God, I hate showing my age, but I just remember the Cabbage Patch thing and people fighting in, you know, stores to get their kids the Cabbage Patch thing. Well, these Jordans came out, and I remember, you know, they had a pretty hefty price tag. Nike knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they knew to make it a premium thing.
Yes. And so I do remember back in the day, I mean, you'd see on the news, kids getting attacked over their shoes, you know, because they were wearing them and somebody else wanted them. I mean, they were a hot commodity. And it's hard to imagine not living in a world
right
where everybody has a shoe deal and everybody, you know, not everybody, but, you know, a lot of people have their name on them and stuff. And I just think that the shoes and that brand are almost, I mean, you can't tell the Michael Jordan story without talking about him. I don't think
you can.
It's that big. And it's made him the third richest African-American in the world.
Yeah, he's a billionaire, been that way for a while. I think buying the Hornets put him over the top, I believe.
I'm sure.
It was he was fairly close.
But just in case you're curious, the people out there, the number one is Robert F. Smith. Never heard of him. He's a investor, and he passed Oprah Winfrey in 2018. And so she's number two now, and Michael Jordan's number three. That says a lot. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
To think about this, he didn't get paid that from the NBA.
That's right.
He was one of the lowest paid players until his last couple of years.
Yes, and when I
because he had a what? Because in those days, like for example, Magic, when he signed with the Lakers, he signed a lifetime contract. That's the way, and that goes back to what we're talking about changing teams.
Yeah.
You didn't change teams. Not only didn't you want to, you didn't want to join your. You wanted to beat your rivals. You couldn't.
Right.
They signed you for life. So you signed that long, or you know, and I'm sure they, you know, today it's what, 5-6 years maybe.
Yeah.
That might be the length of it.
I was doing some research maybe about 6 months ago, and another Carolina boy who was actually one of Jordan's idols and influences, David Thompson.
Oh yeah, David Thompson talked to us at our senior banquet.
Did he really?
Got to meet David Thompson. It was really That's another argument, you know, somewhere for another day. But just if shit wouldn't have went wrong for him, he would have been in the conversation.
His footage is worse than Jordan's. It sucks, but there's not just really good, crisp footage of him, but you can still see.
Yes.
And but David Thompson in, I want to say, 78 or 79, became the first pro athlete to earn $800,000 a year. So now we're only 40 years from that.
That's crazy.
And they're making probably $800,000 a game now.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's crazy. So when I say 78, 79, you know, Magic and Bird came in that era. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they weren't making all the big bucks back then.
No,
Nothing like today.
Magic, I believe Magic's first contract, I could be mistaken, but I think it's, was lifetime and $10 million.
How crazy is that?
$10 million for life. You know, you're talking about till he, you know, assuming he didn't have the HIV thing or whatever and played in that, you know, 12 to 13, 14 years, $10 million.
Right.
That was his contract.
And I think Magic went out and bought a bunch of Burger Kings or something like that. I know he bought some car washes or something. They used to have to really invest their money.
They had to diversify. Money on the side. Absolutely.
And
smart. They were smart to do so.
Hell yes. Remember the baseball player Dave Winfield? I know he owned at least like 15 Burger Kings or something. But I just wanted to say this too. Jordan in 84, he was on the Olympic team that won a gold medal.
Right.
That's something else that is hard to imagine, is not having pros on an Olympic basketball team.
I know.
Because that was fun to live through.
It was. The Dream Team was awesome because 92. It was finally fair.
It was.
And, you know, there was a lot of they tried for a while, but I'll give, you know, David Stern, he made it happen, man. He made it happen. Basically, it was all on him.
And that was the Jordan show. We've watched the Dream Team special.
It was the Jordan show, but he didn't want to do it. He wanted to do it for Magic and Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Because they
he let them be the elder statesmen.
Yes, and they were the captains and all that stuff. But that was kind of the passing of the torch, the final real one. You
and
know
in
I mean?
Those interviews, though, they talk about when they were in those foreign countries, Jordan, he was getting swarmed.
Right.
You know?
They were all getting swarmed, but his a whole different level.
Hell,
I mean,
yes.
It's crazy.
He had to go in back doors and shit and everywhere they went. I mean, so that I remember. So he won again in 92 with the Dream Team.
Right.
And so he's got two Olympic gold medals in basketball. And I would say, used to you had to be in college. You had to be an amateur.
Yep.
So many people before, you know, if they got a gold medal Olympics, that's all they got was that one. And, I mean, that is taking me to a point.
Yeah.
I just want to say that. Also, if you're comparing LeBron and Jordan, you have to take into account he graduated college. And
yes.
There's 4 years. You know,
well,
LeBron,
he did skip his senior year, but he went back and finished.
Well, yeah, so he goes into the NBA, you know, a grown man, 21 years old, whatever, 22. And I'm saying, you know, so there's some years.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely. then his retirement.
Yes.
The middle retirement.
2 years there.
Right. And so when you're looking at career totals and stuff, don't just get caught up in that. Because we all know LeBron has passed him and all that stuff, and other people have passed him in points. But I think he could have put it in the 40,000-point range had he came straight from high school, and which I don't recommend that. I'm just saying. I like him getting seasoned there. But I'm just saying, for argument's sake on career totals, LeBron's already, you know, he's got 5 years or more.
Oh, I mean, you got the college years, obviously. You got the 2 year retirement, you got a second retirement, and you got a whole full year his sophomore season. He broke his foot.
Yes, he did. He played like 17 games.
That was
something.
It. And he sat the bench and with crutches the whole time.
Yep.
So you have a lot of years there where, you know, and Kobe coming out of high school, LeBron, same thing. You know, they came straight out and basically been there the whole time.
Yeah, you're gonna stack up totals
exactly
there,
and know? I mean that 5-6 years is huge,
and so I didn't want that to get lost, but I did want to just touch on that accomplishment of the Olympics, and that reminded me to get back to that point about that. Yeah, Yeah, yeah. He did not play his senior year at Carolina.
Right.
But yeah, he did have the 3 years there. So, did you have a poster on your wall?
Did I have a poster?
He had a little bit more than a poster on his wall.
You couldn't see my wall. Dude, I mean, for real. Like, legit. You could not. But it was, it went from skater shit to Jordan shit. Right. And I had literally every poster that was, I think, ever made at the time. I had every, I mean, even the life-size ones, like on the back of the closet. Now, we cut a slit down it because the closet folded.
Yes.
You know, where you can measure
your
height.
Oh, that's really cool,
yeah. We can measure your height and stuff, you know, life-size. Those, every magazine, I'd cut out those. And I still got a whole box of Jordan magazines, by the way. Sports Illustrated is, you know, the famous Y cover. Still have all those.
And I happened to move into a house that Chris had lived in previously.
Yes.
And, you know, it had been painted over, but he came in there and was like, on this wall right here, there used to be that Jumpman logo,
Jumpman,
right?
Logo.
Yeah. He painted a big mural on the wall when he lived there.
Yeah, it was like 6 foot tall. It was on the wall there in old West 22nd. Was it West 22nd or East? I can't remember.
No, it was East 10th.
East 10th. East 10th. Oh, yep. So that was somebody else. Yep. Sorry, East I thought 10th. You was somebody else.
But I was also gonna say, fudge.
But yeah, I mean, going back to that really quick though,
yeah.
The posters, the clothes, the shoes. You know, my mom at that point had, you know, moved up in the world and gotten a good job, and I was lucky enough for her to be able to help me and get Air Jordans. Now, of course, back then, a new pair of shoes was not $180,
right.
But they were still a little more expensive than regular shoes. Because I'd had the previous, like, for example, take AJ1s. I had those in middle school for team shoes, you know, but they were just regular, you know, Nikes.
Right.
I guess now they have a name, but yeah. Then you slap the logo on there and change the colors, and it's an Air Jordan.
That's it.
And, it drives it up to a premium. So I had, at the time, I had every... Through from then on to through high school, and then even beyond that to when, because I worked all through high school full time and all that, so I started buying my own. But I had every pair of Jordans ever made, and I only quit when my daughter was born. And actually, I bought Air Jordan 18s and took them back because I felt horrible.
That's right.
First time I'd ever considered taking a pair of Jordans back to the store, brand new in the box. These came out with a suede brush, and it was like, it's just a whole different thing, a whole different level. The case, it was in a metal case. I took those back because I was like, I can't spend $200 on a pair of shoes. I have a kid now.
Yeah.
I took them back.
Yeah, that cramps your style a little bit. A
little bit. But anyway, since my kid is now older and I'm almost an empty nester, or pretty much an empty nester now, I have started collecting again a couple years back, and
yep.
I have... Right now, I'm really focusing on really 1 through 14 because that was the Bulls. And he did play in a few more up till 18 through the Wizards. So I'm still a sneaker head in that sense of Jordans. I still have a few pairs to go, but I'm just getting the ones he wore for now in the original colorways, not the new shit. So
yeah, I think since I've known you since 1994 – I've never seen you in a pair of tennis shoes that weren't Jordans, other than I think you might have had one pair of Air Maxes at one time.
I had some Shocks for a couple of years.
Shocks, that's right.
Because I got, like, you could do the Nike ID,
mm-hmm.
And I went on there and got like Panthers colors and stuff like
that's
that.
That's right.
So I've had those, but yeah, it's I mean, it's just, I don't know. I can never since the first few years of wearing Chuck Taylor's
right
in basketball, and then 84 happened.
Yep.
I just couldn't. I could not wear a pair of Converse or Adidas or Adidas or anything. Under Armour. I can't. Can't do it.
Well,
there's something wrong with it to me. I know it's stupid.
I don't want to. I definitely don't want to skedaddle without picking your brain on this. Because this bugs me. Dude, what has happened to players not wanting to be in the slam dunk contest in their prime. Man. It's like they'll play, they'll do it their rookie year or something. But we've got to witness heavyweight fights on a basketball court in our day.
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to the same thing we're talking about. I mean, I can't speak for everybody. I'm not saying that modern players are weak or soft or any of that shit. Sure, I'm not saying that. I don't know them. There are some outstanding players, but I think a lot of it is, well, I might lose.
I think it is too.
I'm just the way it is.
It's easier to sit back and say I could have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't get it. If that's what I mean by the competitive stuff. Jordan, Bird, whatever, three-point contest, Dominique. Those dudes knew they could lose.
Yes.
But they didn't give a shit because they were going to try. They were that competitive.
And I compare it to a heavyweight fight because I don't know if anybody knows this, but on February 11th, 1990, slam dunk contest I'm watching. My cousin calls, says, are you watching Mike Tyson get his ass whipped by this dude called Buster Douglas?
Oh, my Lord.
It's the same going on at the same time. And so at the house I'm at, I'm like, hey, do y'all have HBO? No. But you know how you could flip to HBO if you didn't have it, and sometimes you could catch it in a grainy look?
I recorded all Tyson fights. I did. I set the fucking thing for 3 or 4 hours and lasted 90 seconds.
Yeah. You couldn't watch it there. So I'm literally watching the slam dunk contest on the TV with the phone to my ear, standing there attached to a cord, and he's saying, oh, my God, this guy's whipping his ass. But that's what I'm saying, dude. They were confident enough to put the NBA slam dunk contest heads up against Mike Tyson fight.
Right, that's crazy.
And, dude, those days – that they're never going to be the same unless these guys start coming out and going, okay, I'm gonna bust y'all's ass and I'm gonna do this, because that's what Neek and Jordan did, and it was fun to watch.
It was, and I get it to a degree. Like, you know, it's all been done now.
I agree with that.
Now, the last couple, there's been a few really good ones.
There's
actually
some unbelievable dunkers.
Right. Yes. It's just, no doubt.
Where are these big cats?
It's just like exactly. And it's not that they're above average NBA players, I guess, but it's not the superstars.
Yes.
So, but I do get it. You know, I haven't watched a lot of the slam dunk
stuff.
But
the superstars do the 3-point contest, right?
Curry does. Yeah, sure.
And his other buddy that splashed
because brother. It's almost like, well, you know, it was just that night,
right?
But Duncan's Duncan.
I know.
You know, so man. It's like you can't. Do you want to compete or not?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so that was the way I looked at it. That's the way I think about it, but. You know, that's also declined because they've done it all. They've jumped over cars. They've brought in props. But there's still some great dunks. And I think probably the some of the best dunkers, not even in the NBA, I honestly. But
yeah,
anyway,
no,
that's
I agree with that.
A whole different thing.
Because there's all these videos on YouTube. Anybody guys can go back and watch. But don't just go back and watch highlights of those Dominique Jordan dunk contests. Watch, like, where somebody's talking about it and watch the whole thing and watch the judges and watch everybody freak out and all this stuff,
right?
And people actually talk about it. It's really cool.
Yeah. And to this day, I mean, Kiss the Rim,
beautiful,
it will always be my favorite dunk. It's my lock, my lock screen on my phone is Kiss the Rim.
Yep.
And then when I unlock it, it's my daughter.
That's so cool.
If that tells you anything.
Yeah.
So, because in that freeze frame, it's just the most beautiful. Like I said before, it's the, you know, people called it hang time back then. Yeah. And all it was Jordan had this unique, it was the first he was the first to be able to not let the ball go until right before he hit the floor in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And they called it hang time and flight, and therefore Air Jordan and all that stuff. But
He had physics professors getting involved and scratching their head and stuff. It was a fun time, wasn't it?
It really was. It really was.
I mean, people were talking about you'd hear people on the news talking about, and these shoes are supposed to make you jump higher.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Is it the shoes? Yeah. No, Mars.
That's right.
Oh my God! But they gave you confidence, man. They really did.
It's a placebo effect.
It is a placebo effect, absolutely. But as far as Kiss the Rim goes, I'm just saying, as a former guy who could dunk before he got old, it's not easy leaning sideways. That is not easy at all. It looks easy to him.
Yeah.
But I don't care who you are and how high you can jump. That shit ain't easy. Mm-mm. So I respect what, because I know what it feels like to do that. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. After I watched a little bit of the Wizards because I had to, but I hated it at the same time.
Well, you saw the decline.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
I mean, yeah, he got smarter, just like he did with the Bulls. I mean, he was already, you know, getting past his physical prime, you know, and he developed his fadeaway, obviously, is his signature shot and end game or whatever.
But if he felt pushed and the stakes, you know, were high, if there was a team in town or they were playing somebody, he dropped 40.
He had 40, 45 all the time. He still did that when he needed to, but he was more there as a player coach.
Yes.
Because he was invested in the team.
He was invested in the team, and his name puts butts in seats.
Yes.
You know, he had to sell his soul a little bit there and let his stats get, you know, decline a little bit.
Yep. But and he knew that. Business decision. He knew that, but it was a decision. It just shows you, too, you know, I don't personally know Michael Jordan. I think I know him pretty well from just everything I've ever read and studied, watched, whatever about him. But it shows you there's something about his character.
Yeah.
Because when you know, today, I think today it is about me. There's a lot of videos on YouTube about padding stats. And, you know, that's where at the end of a game, you don't want to pass because it'll be looked at as, you know what I mean? They'll step out of bounds not to get a pass.
Yes.
Because it'll go down or take something off of a stat or whatever. So it just shows you that he's willing to play 3 years for a team to help make them better so he can step away and become an owner. And he knows that his career averages are being dropped.
Yep.
And it got him really, really close to Wilt again. And it pissed me off.
Yeah, really close.
Really
glad
close.
He stopped before he he dropped below. But I do want to ask you to tell your little story, because Chris used to be an artist. He can't draw anymore. It looks like Michael J. Fox with a crayon. Chris is a good artist, and tell him your story about your little Michael Jordan thing.
Yeah, so in high school, my cousins and I both, I don't know, I went up family of artists somehow on both sides of the family. It's really weird, but me and Eric, who you guys have heard here on this podcast before, we were in school together in the same art classes, and we had all these assignments to do because you send them off to competitions. They won what's called Gold Key Awards or whatever. So you had to have different types. You know, one was like an ink thing, or one was, you know, whatever. But I did a picture of Michael Jordan superimposed with Magic Johnson. So if you picture a 24 by 36 big picture, think about a grid on the picture, right? The whole thing's gridded off into squares.
Yeah.
And every other square is Michael Jordan in color in a famous dunk pose, you know, poster, basically. And every other one is Magic Johnson doing one of his famous layups.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, posterized.
Very cool concept.
In pencil.
Yes.
So color, pencil, and then regular pencil.
That's cool.
But shaded and everything, detail, whatever. So I did that picture, and that was part of my portfolio submission. My art teacher or whatever sent it off. It goes to Winston-Salem, and judges come in and judge it. And I won with that thing a portfolio award and a small scholarship to an art school. So I took that thing after all that was over, and I got some of my stuff back. Most of it disappeared to New York, and I never seen it again. But
right.
I did get that back, and I sent it to Michael Jordan in a frame, glass frame, everything. And I knew some people, you know, this, you know, 6 degrees of separation.
Now, and this is pre-internet, where it's easy to find addresses and all that stuff.
Yes, pre-internet, obviously. So I knew a dude who worked at Carolina and was involved with Jordan and his insurance company. All right. So I knew how to get in contact with him, and also another former NFL player, Ethan Horton. So Ethan Horton and Michael Jordan were friends, still are, I'm assuming. And I asked Gene, I won't say last names, I'll just say Gene. I asked him if he could get Jordan's home address, because I didn't want this thing to go to the United Center at the time and just be lost, because it was a big package.
24x36 framed art glass and everything. I was like, this is going to get damaged or it's going to get stolen or whatever.
Right.
So my dumb ass, by the way, didn't make a copy of it because in those days, there wasn't a photocopy place down the road.
Right.
You couldn't go to FedEx and get, hey, can I get a copy of this? No.
You didn't have a phone on your hip to just at least get a picture.
At least get a picture
of
it.
You have to have film and the camera and everything.
Exactly. So, yeah, I didn't, you know, maybe there is a picture of that somewhere. I don't know, but I don't recall. But anyway, I end up, so Gene asks Ethan. Ethan says, you know, I don't really want to give his address away. You know, I don't really, and I understand that. He didn't really know me,
right?
Whatever. So I get that. So Gene said no, basically. So I ended up sending it off to United Center. There was a place you could go look, but I've never known to this day if he ever received it somewhere, got it at all, or if it's maybe hanging in an office somewhere because he's got a billion of them. Because I have seen on interviews and whatever where he's in his offices and there's artwork everywhere.
Yep.
So I've always wondered to this day, did he receive that old drawing? And if he did, I'm not expecting a thank you or nothing.
No,
you know what I mean? I just
no.
want to know.
That, I think that's a really cool story, though.
So I just want to know.
Did you write him a note or anything?
A long
there?
One.
That's cool.
And this was when I first got a computer and typed it up.
Very cool.
And
man.
I believe somewhere on a floppy disk have that on a Word, like it would have been the first edition of Word.
That is really, really
That's
cool.
how old that was. Might have been DOS. But I still have a copy of that somewhere on a floppy disk in a closet somewhere. And I sent him this long letter with it. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he ever got it.
I've always thought that was a great story, man.
I wish now I'd have made a photocopy of it.
When a kid, you know, takes all those measures to do something like that, I just think I've always thought that was one of the coolest stories. And I would love to know.
I would love to know.
You know, if he even hung it up for a while. It's been a long time.
Yeah,
he could have given it away by now. But if at any point, if he touched it, read the letter, hung
yeah,
it cause, up.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, they said he gets thousands of things a day.
You can only imagine.
But most of those, I would imagine, are letters.
Yeah.
This was huge. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it stood out.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe he held it to his ear. He heard it ticking, and he didn't.
But
I've
always said, because I've been really close to Michael Jordan, I've never got to meet Michael Jordan. And I actually know a guy that works downtown and works with Larry Jordan every day, his brother, which I played with at the Y.
Cool.
Very cool. So I've always thought, you've asked me this before, I think, as a matter of fact, if I meet Michael Jordan, what would you ask him? That's exactly what I'd ask him.
I'd have to.
Because, I mean, you know, like I said, I don't expect anything. I just want to know, yay, nay, or I don't remember. Maybe don't remember.
Yeah, and that is possibly an answer. But
it's still. I mean, when you receive thousands
I think that's super cool that you did it, and I think that makes a great story. And somehow it's better not to know, you know.
Maybe. That, I don't know.
I mean,
maybe it is.
You know,
ignorance
it.
Is bliss, yeah. I guess, in some cases, for
right.
sure. But, yeah, I mean, I was pretty proud of that because it was part of an actual award-winning set, and, you know, that was a pretty big deal. Only one other person in the school history has ever won that. Happened to be my cousin 3 years later. Really weird.
So cool.
On the other side of the family, not linked to me and Eric. And that was pretty cool, but so it was. I was pretty proud of that, and yeah, I just liked to know if you got it, but probably never know. But I'll damn sure ask if I meet him.
Yeah, I would, and I can't wait. And I wouldn't be surprised if it ever happens, especially him being here now.
I mean,
I remember our friend. Didn't Joe? Something tells me Joe that we worked with in cable sent you a. Text or something said I'm doing cable in Michael Jordan's office or somebody I feel
yeah,
like
yeah oh I think no I was gonna say because we did a lot of the Speedway stuff
mm-hmm.
So I know Joe got that a lot being the kind of the unofficial lead tech on our old team
yeah
about,
I remember
but there was some office somewhere maybe with the Bobcats or something
yeah.
maybe. So I don't know. I don't remember exactly.
Could have been the contract company I worked for.
It sounds familiar.
We ran fiber in there or something, but that would have been a cool little thing to rub elbows in the hallway.
Sounds familiar. I mean, he's got a lake house here on Lake Norman, I think, still. And, you know, he basically lives here. I mean, he's got a Florida residence now, still Chicago. But his big house in Chicago has been on sale for
probably 10 years. That are, I don't think it's still sold.
Oh, that's right. We were looking at all the pictures of it that
one day. Yeah, the one with the 23 on the gate.
Yes, that would be so awesome. Hit the lottery and buy that damn
thing. Yeah, I mean, geez, I don't know why. I can't believe somebody hadn't bought it. But I don't know. Maybe they have by now. But last I heard, it still hadn't sold. But, well, yeah, I don't know, man. It was just he was my icon. That's all there was to it. There's something pretty special about that, you know, as a kid. And it makes you wonder about today, you know, because they're still fans of
absolutely of
NBA players. They don't have to be athletes. I'm just saying in general. But is it with the culture and the phone in your hand, is it as deep? You know what I mean?
It makes you wonder.
Like, if you're a Kevin Durant fan, are you really that big of a fan, or are you just a fan? Are you a fan? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think there's a difference.
And I think a lot of that has to do with, like you said, they have a lot more options now.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do? Like, I wouldn't – like, what do you do when, you know, Kevin Durant just left the Warriors?
I don't know.
What do you do?
I wonder that, you know. I mean, we had our players, like you mentioned Charles Barkley earlier. He switched teams. Shaq switched teams.
But those are out of their control. Yeah, you know, exactly.
And so – yeah, you if you're that player's fan, you buy the other jersey. You don't necessarily pull for the other team, but you know what I'm
saying?
Right,
exactly. Wizard days, I didn't care about the Wizards.
But you cared about him.
But I had to watch it. But right. I didn't really care about their record. I didn't, you know, I wasn't reading Wizard news, or nothing of that shit. So, I'm sorry. They were the Wizards. They had just changed from the Bullets. I was going to say –
yeah, that's right.
They were the Bullets, and that had to be changed because that was too offensive, I guess.
That's right. And then they went to the Wizards. That's crazy. A lot of this really, really makes me realize how old I am.
Oh, I know.
A lot
man.
Of this talk,
I know.
You know,
it does.
Yeah, we've had a couple of those conversations on YouTube before where we've talked about things that have changed, but you know, I can take myself back to the feeling of. You know, when the NBA Finals was a big deal, it stopped everything. You made plans around it,
right?
You weren't. You know, I don't know. There was something about it. The NBA All-Star Game was a big deal.
Yeah, it's just not this. I guess it's probably for every generation. Maybe I don't know. TV's not been around that long, but
right.
It's just not the same. I mean, I had, like I mentioned before, I had season tickets. I didn't go to every single Hornets game, but a lot. But when the Bulls came to town, and I didn't use those tickets, I splurged and went set courtside.
There you go.
When Jordan was in town, I set courtside. When Bird or Magic was in town, I set courtside a few times. So it was a big deal, and I mean it shaped me, you know. And so when you have those nights where you're feeling a little down or depressed, or you're, you know, whatever, you want to reminisce, or you just get in that mood, it takes you back, and it means something. So it's always something that's, you know, part of me and memories and all that stuff, and it shaped my actual basketball, I don't know, lack of a better word, career, obviously, and I don't know. It means a lot, and so it's really cool now to still be able to go back and look at those videos on YouTube, like we talked about, still get the same damn shoes that came out in 1984 or later, and collect them again and all that kind of stuff. And so it's something pretty damn cool.
And they still sell out, and they're still popular.
So you can't get
it shows you.
You can't get them. There's a whole market of resellers. If you don't catch them in the store the first 10 minutes, you're done.
And what was that VHS that came out? Michael Jordan.
Come fly with me.
Yeah.
Then
that's something else that has changed as far as, you know, pulling up YouTube highlight reels and stuff. If highlight reels weren't shown on TV, you'd have to buy that. And I know that video was very popular because I worked at a video store. And a lot of people would rent that video to watch those highlights and stuff.
Right.
And so I don't know. It seemed like he was everywhere. He was in that movie Space Jam. I mean, it was like he was freaking everywhere.
And I believe Space Jam 2 is just now fixing to come out or planned.
I totally forgot about
that. And so that's been how long has that been? 30 years?
Wow.
But I still have all those tapes, and I have the DVD collection where they put all those together, all the specials. You had Come Fly With Me, Jordan's Playground, all that shit combined.
Very cool.
So that's sitting right down there, as a matter of fact. And I pull those out on occasion when I want to go and, you know, go back to the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. I had, like, you know, you could sign up for Sports Illustrated. Remember that? And they would always have a gift. You know, you get the VHS or whatever. I got, like, NFL Crunch Course back in the 80s. And then they would they'd send you books of a certain championship team and stuff. And I loved that kind of stuff.
And I had the Bull stuff, and I got the plates from – I still have a couple of those because a lot of my Jordan stuff is missing. All my cards were stolen. I think we mentioned that before. Comics and cards, baseball and basketball.
Yep.
Were all stolen, every single one of them. But I had a lot more Jordan stuff. And so now I still have a handful of posters rolled up. I have the original shirts, the original Air Jordan, two original Air Jordan shirts from 1984. One of them was just the logo. The Jumpman logo. I still have that actual.
Oh, you pulled that out on me. I saw that one.
Yeah, I still have that one. And it's small. You can see how small it was.
So little, yep.
And then I have the gray one with the shoes laced over the shoulder.
Yes, you do.
And these were the Carolina blue and white Jordan 1s.
And I tried on Christmas to get him a damn Funko Pop Jordan. Thought I'd slide something Jordan in. He don't have. He already had it. You know.
But I'm going to go swap it, though. There's another one. I didn't know there was another one.
That's cool.
But I'm going to go swap it. So, yeah.
He's still a big Jordan fan. And I think it's cool that number 23, our podcast number 23, we dedicated to him. Because that's a big piece of who Chris is and a lot to do with our friendship, like I said.
It really is. It's kind of cool. You know, it was a big part of my life and still is. Because, like I said, I still, to this day, I've been – I may have mentioned this before, but I've been trying to eat better and work out a little bit, and I've been going to the basketball court again, and it's always been my place of solace. If I need to go somewhere, whether I'm feeling good, bad, whatever, I can just go there, and whether it's just me shooting around or whatever, and that's just been, I don't know, a place of solace for me. So I've been doing that again recently, and getting in shape and all that good stuff again. So it's something that sticks with you, you know?
It does.
It was a special thing for me. I took my daughter, I told you this before too. I took her to my old high school a couple times, and we went over there one time, and the gym is usually open, this old gym that my mom played in, you know, there too.
Yeah.
And we walked through there, doors open. I knew the head coach, so I wasn't really worried about it. Still knew some people at the time. Walked in the gym and just walked through, and she got to see all the trophies.
Yes.
From back way back before I was there. She got to see the old banners before I think they've changed a lot of it now and combined them. We had a single banner, big green and white banner for everything that covered both sides of the gym. But the smell.
You're right.
The court. So it's all, and then we went downstairs to the old locker room, and the varsity room is different. That was locked. I couldn't get in my old varsity room. Had a lot of Gatorade bottles thrown at my head in that room.
Yes.
So all that was like, just the smell of it was like, oh my God, talking about reminiscing. And she didn't quite understand it, I'm sure.
I know.
She probably saw tears in my eyes and didn't understand why I was so, I don't know, emotional.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
But waiting until Landon turns 18 so I can take him to Foxy Lady and have the same feeling.
There you go. Exactly.
No,
and I'm going to go with you that night, by the way, just for emotional support. So, yes, we're planning on that for sure. Landon, if you're listening, get ready. But, yeah, that was really cool, though, because at that time she was getting into sports and basketball and softball. And, God, she was a really good player, man. She was.
Yeah, she was. But then you kind of shifted gears to softball.
Shifted gears to pretty much softball. But, you know, I even told her, we were talking about it again the other day. She was out, came out and shot around with me the other day. And she still got it.
Hey, I remember you doing drills right-handed, left-handed with her and stuff at the playground.
She's still a shooter, boy. I'm telling you, but she just didn't have. She'll tell you this. She didn't have that killer instinct. Like I told her when she was a kid, and this is why I'm saying about the philosophy. It's not just a sports podcast, because when she was a kid, we would lay on the floor every night and play hangman,
yes,
tic-tac-toe. I never let her win. I didn't let her win, and that was on purpose, and I've told her that many, many times. I never let her win at basketball. We were playing, but because I wanted her to earn it and learn from it. And so that philosophy was my drive. I'm competitive as hell, man. And that's part of that. Yeah, that's where it came from.
It is.
So
it's and it has a lot to do with you, like with YouTube, watching your numbers and all that stuff.
Absolutely. And, yeah. I mean, it's
what can I do? What can I tweak? What
right. You know? I've learned recently I can't really do anything about it. I still have the drive, but I mean, I don't know. It's up and down and broken most of the time, and I don't get it anymore. But yeah, that's where that drive comes from. I mean, it comes from picking up a basketball. And the reason I picked up a basketball was because this kid from Carolina.
Yes.
And so it's not just, oh, I'm a fan of Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? It's a lot deeper than that for me. For a lot of people. I'm just telling my personal
That's
story.
Right.
But I'm sure for a lot of people, a lot of kids, you know, you look up, you know, a lot of times it's athletes or musicians.
Yep.
But that's who was in your face.
That's who was in your face, man. And it shapes you. And every little bit, you pick up a little bit here, you pick up a little bit there, and you become you.
You do.
You just happen to pick up a lot more of Jordan. And a little bit of, you know, James Hetfield, and you know what I mean? You never know.
That's right.
A little Tupac over here.
Absolutely.
And so we all are, you know, just this blend of what we took in
most. It was kind of funny. I was telling, I don't know if it was me and you or somebody else talking about it. Three big influences on me are all Mikes: Tyson, Jordan, Jackson.
Yes, and there was a time when they were all the best.
The best at what they,
what they did at the same
absolutely.
Time.
The yep. goats of what they did. Still,
yep.
In my opinion.
That's right.
But it also touches on the cultural thing, and especially the 80s and 90s, man. I mean, there was a lot of crossover there.
There was.
You know, you had music was changing. We were talking about the music. So we might do a music podcast one of these days.
Yeah.
The music was changing, and you had different genres reaching different people, and it's really cool.
And like I said the other night, and we all fed off the same trough, which was MTV.
Yes.
And at that time, MTV. Well, they might only do an hour of Yo MTV Raps or an hour of Headbangers Ball, but it was out of the same trough.
Exactly.
And everybody drank from it, and so we blended a lot better then. It wasn't as divisive because all were getting the same input.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's a cool thing.
And I think that was, and I think that's a big thing between, you know, small towns and big cities.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge difference that people don't understand, you know, especially, we know we get redneck comments and whatever.
Oh, yes.
We got a couple of the last podcasts about Bob Lazar, how, you know, we're idiot rednecks because we don't agree with their opinion, but it just wasn't like that.
Nope.
And it's still not in these small towns, to my knowledge. You know what I mean? So it was a beautiful thing.
It was.
You know, people could like, it didn't matter what color you were. It didn't matter. He was Michael Jordan. That's all you know what I mean? And that's the way it was.
And we've talked about before, you know, and Chris will tell you, I mean, you know, all I can do is shoot a basketball. Put a hand in my face, I'm done.
Right.
But I can shoot and I have good form.
Can shoot.
When we first went out on the court, he was like, "Wow, you can shoot." You don't know how many times when I was a kid that I would go to the local playground and, you know, be one of only two or three white kids out there. And back then you had to work your way and you had to shoot between games. You shot for teams. And because I could shoot, I would always end up on a team and they would rarely pass me the ball. But when they would, and I would shoot a shot, and, you know, I got called Larry Bird. I mean, you know what I mean, and I wasn't run off from the playground because of, you know, my color or anything. I mean, it was all like, hey, if you want to come down here and play, you can play, and it was just a different feel, man. I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't issues, but we're not as backwoods and redneck as you think.
No, I tell you what, you just brought up a thing too. That's one thing that made me feel really good, and I'm not here to toot my own horn by any means, but when I started getting called
Baby Jordan or White Jordan. There was a lot of that. Boy, you talking about an ego. My right. head getting big. When I went, I told you I went to Pfeiffer College for 2 years. I went middle school and high school. My sophomore year, I played varsity basketball my sophomore year. So I went to this, but I went for art. So it was a program where you went and stayed a week in college, right? You stayed in a dorm room, you had a roommate, you went to a couple classes, but wasn't that serious, but it was for art. Well, I spent the whole week in the basketball gym with the players. I didn't know at the time I was playing with Tony Smith, who led the nation in all the nation in scoring in basketball. Now, granted, double A school, right?
Right.
Or Brad Brown, the big man center.
Brad Brown.
I mean, I played with these dudes for a week, and when you play with those dudes for a week and they're asking you, like, we're running full court. And you, because the other thing I remember is, you know, the old dollar bill trick with the drink machines?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
oh, yes.
It still worked back then.
Yes.
You know how many drinks I sold that week up in the main halls?
Yes, that's a slick trick.
Because I would go to the gym. Anyway, I'm sorry. You know, that wasn't all good. But no, when you're asked by people like Tony Smith and Brad Brown, and you're running with those guys who are college basketball players, and you're a sophomore, and they say, "Where are you going to school?" That makes your head blow up a little bit.
It does, man.
It really does. And I don't know. And that's what I try to explain to, you know, my cousin Dustin over here. We'll go shoot, and my daughter, she still occasionally shoots around with me, whatever. But we'll go play some, me and Dustin, a lot. And I'm so mad because I can still outsmart people.
Yes.
And still play and all that, but I can't do what my body can't do what my mind thinks it still can.
It's so crazy.
And it's so frustrating, man. It makes me so mad. I can still occasionally dunk with one hand, but that's about it.
I saw a, you know, interview with Muhammad Ali who said the same thing after he fought Larry Holmes.
Yes.
I saw punches coming. I couldn't get away.
Yes.
I saw openings. I couldn't get my punch there.
Yeah.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
You know? But I talked to Brad Brown about that. I asked him about that, if he remembered it. He called you Whitey Pippen.
Whitey. I was going to say. Because I remember.
I did go to school with Brad, but I never.
Yeah,
I
remember him coming up to when I was at Pizza Hut. I transferred for a week to an Albemarle store to manage it while the manager was on vacation. And I remember him coming in there, man, just chatting it up. But that was years and years later.
Yeah, we actually, at South, when he was there, we had a slam dunk contest. And that kid could jam in high school, dude.
Yes. I'm telling you right now, I told you about a dude named Paul Johnson. He never, in high school, he never played ball, but he was in, we were in gym together. Dude could stand under the rim and not even take a step and two-hand it.
Well,
I mean, dude could jump out the gym. I did high jump with him. I did high jump and track to stay in shape for basketball. I never cared about track. I didn't run or any of that stuff. I just did the high jump.
Well, I remember when I first went to Pizza Hut and, you know, Phil was talking, you came up to visit or something, and Phil was asking, he's like, have you ever played basketball with him? I was like, no. He's like, you should see him slam. Him and Derek, man, damn, they can slam dunk like you wouldn't believe. So evidently you'd taken Phil out to play basketball before.
Yeah, I remember. And I remember that's the thing. I remember making fun of him because he was out of breath. You know, but Phil would get out there and play. He was, you know, he played tough. But that was the way you played.
Right. He said, man, y'all was alley-ooping and all kind of stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. It was just, I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. It's so crazy now because now I go out there and, you know, and I feel like the rim's so high. And it used to feel really short. It looks so high.
I know.
But it used to be like, it looks so low. It's like, is this thing 9 foot? Somebody got this set to 9 foot?
That's crazy. Because
of those, I mean, I'm just telling you, it was crazy. And I couldn't even jump compared to Derek. But, yeah, man. It was back then when your body did what you wanted it to do, you know. But, yeah, I'm trying to get back into some shape. We did play a game the other week, and me and Dustin and Camden's boyfriend, Dawson, we played against some kids out there and whooped their ass. And
there you go.
We played to 15, and I probably had 6 or 7 of the points, and I was trying to just teach them the game a little bit.
There's been multiple times you've told me you play basketball lately. So
yeah,
that's
so
cool,
I mean, it's something that keeps me going a little bit. At least I get out of here for a while.
Let me ask you this: does stuff like palming the ball go away as you get older? Do your hands feel different?
You know what? It seems to.
I feel like, because I used to like half-ass palm a ball.
Right. Yeah.
But now I can't even half-ass palm one. It's like,
yeah, something's different. Older. But then again, I don't know, because I don't have good balls. It's just, you know, we got cheap balls for outside. So some
not
are
doing
easy.
It as much. And
yeah. So I used to be able to palm it and basically move it around like a baseball. Like, you right. know, that was always that's what makes dunking. So, you know, when you're starting to learn, get high enough to dunk,
yeah,
and you can't palm the ball, you're
at a
big
yeah.
disadvantage if you can't palm it.
Absolutely.
But it seems like now I can still palm it, but not as easy. So I don't know. I mean, I guess my hands hadn't really shrunk, but I don't know what it is. You know, maybe.
I mean, it really could. It could be.
I don't know. But it feels like that. But then again, I'm not out there trying to dunk every day either. So I don't know. Maybe it'd come back too.
I swear, I you know, there was a time when I was a young man, I wore 13s. Now I wear 12s and shoes. I mean, it's just shit.
That is true.
Something happens.
That is true. I still wear a 13, but I've also used to wear 14 some.
See? That's what I'm saying. It's a trip, man.
I mean, I like all these Jordans I'm collecting, these are all dead stock. I haven't worn them except for I've worn the ones before because they're the first. The reason I stopped wearing, I only wore them like 4 or 5 times, but I stopped wearing them because these are the first retros.
Oh,
there are retros, yeah. But they're the first ones.
Yes.
Where I still have the card from the original OGs, and I still have some OG pairs that are tore up. Like I have some old 13s in the closet. They're tore all to hell, but they're the bread, black and red ones, but they're the OG original Jordans. I could probably get them fixed, but they'd be worth some money. But yeah, I got all these in there, but I won't play in them. I got a separate pair to play in now, but
damn, Skippy.
Yeah, they'll stay dead stock and be in a case in the new house studio. So you'll probably see some of that too in our new podcast setup. I guess we better mention that too, if anybody's still listening.
Yeah,
is, you know, we always mention that we're adding video when we can. It's going to be another few months because I'm moving, but we'll have a proper studio, so you'll see a video with this.
Hell yeah, I can't wait.
Because that's what we've been talking about, the studio, setting it up, what we're going to have in the background. I have all these ideas for all this stuff.
Yeah, man. We actually had tape measure out measuring shit tonight.
We did, because we found a possible table.
It's going to be really cool, man. I look forward to it. But I've had fun. This has been cool, man.
Yeah, I could sit there and talk damn night. We're at like an hour 27 now. This is probably our longest one.
I'll probably be watching that documentary, the Bird and Johnson Magic video.
Courtship of Rivals. I could probably watch it every night. I've actually got the book too. The woman that's she wrote that book, and I forget her name. She's like in all the old school documentaries. She did them all. She recently interviewed Rodman in his 30 for 30.
Oh,
I can't
yes.
remember her name. I can see her face.
Yeah.
As soon as I don't know. But
and I just want to say, I didn't find a release date for that Last Dance thing, but I did see it is going to be a 10-part series.
Yeah, it's going to be like
ESPN.
A docu-series.
How cool is that?
Please tell me they're an hour each.
And hey, you know, maybe, I don't know how you feel about it, but that might be cool if they don't drop them all at once. If they do, you might could pop a couple videos out on that.
Hey, I mean,
if it's got any, you know.
At this point, it don't matter. You know what I mean? It don't matter yeah. what I put out. What am I going to do? Lose subscribers or not get views? You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, no, but I can sit there and talk about Jordan and old school basketball all night long. I want to say really quick, I know we're going a little longer than we usually do, but that guy I also coached for a while when my daughter got into basketball.
Did you enjoy it?
I really dug it, man. I'm telling you, man. Teaching is, I think, at my core. I think I mentioned that before with the martial arts thing and all that,
right?
But I really, really dug. I taught my daughter's team, and you know, volunteered up at this church league, and it was awesome. And I heard from those girls and their parents that, because we didn't win every game by any means, but they learned basketball. That they would. I mean, I'm just telling you.
That's cool.
I think today, with the NBA the way it is, and the Steph Currys and whatever, and the 3-point shooting and all that, that's where people start. Instead of starting with a layup.
Yeah.
And so I was more focused on them learning the game than I was winning games, and if that makes sense. I'm wanting to win games, believe me.
Fundamentals of anything will take you far in life.
Absolutely. And that's the lessons you pull from sports. That's why sports are important. You know, yeah. A lot of people are, I'm sure, like, yeah, it's just a stupid game with a ball and overpaid athletes. It's like, no. If you look at it that way, sure. But if you take it for what it is and take from it and use it, it's about the philosophy, sportsmanship. There's so many lessons there. You learn how to lose.
You do.
Which is an important thing these days. Nobody knows how to lose.
That's right.
And you learn, like you said.
Camaraderie.
Camaraderie. That's what I was telling my daughter. Her last year at school, having issues with her coach and stuff, and I tried not to get involved or whatever. But I'm like, think about that bus ride in that uniform. There's not many people in the history of that school that wore that uniform and rode that bus to and from games and went to the locker room. It's a special club.
It is.
Remember it.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Don't take it for granted.
I've told this before. I was a decent wrestler in junior high.
I
chose to grow my hair out. And
which is a stupid decision. I mean, you shouldn't have had to make that decision.
I know, but we're from that era.
That's that era.
You know, and those coaches were like, long hair on a wrestling team. So, but I missed out. I missed out. I don't have the letter.
Right.
I would love to have had earned that letter. There's a lot of that stuff that a rash decision by a teenager, can cause them to have some regrets,
So when you see your dad or your grandfather or your grandmother or whatever, it doesn't matter, and they're reminiscing about back in the day, let them have that moment for a minute. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's really, really part of them. And it gets brushed under the rug too easy that it's just, like Uncle Rico trying to put me in, coach.
Right.
I bet I can throw this football over them near mountains.
If I was in there, we could have won state.
I mean, I know people, and I'm not, believe me, I know people live through their kids.
Yes.
I've seen it firsthand with a buddy of mine who went professional baseball. But come on, man. That is important. That's part of them. You know what I mean? It shaped them a lot of ways. They learned a lot from it, not just about sports and mechanics of sports and fundamentals of sports, but fundamentals of life.
That's right. It's
so huge, and it's so cool to remember. And that's what scares the shit out of me, losing my brain so I don't remember these things. That's my worst nightmare.
I was just telling this story before I came over here. Because now I'm starting to notice that I'm struggling remembering like actors and actresses' names.
Same here. I told you this on the podcast before.
And
but it comes and goes.
It's really starting to annoy me.
Yes.
Things that used to just come second nature. And then by the time you think of it, because the conversations move past you.
Yes.
They don't realize you're still in your brain beating yourself up because
exactly.
You can't remember this.
That's
thing.
What I was saying when we
and
talked
you yell
about
it. Out 5 minutes later exactly. And the moment's passed. And so that's why I'm starting to write my memoirs a lot to do with it. I don't want to forget.
And I think that's cool, man. I mean, that's another thing. We were going to do like just an update video. We were going to talk about some of that stuff, but I guess we can do that for another one. But
that'd be really cool, yeah.
We're both writing stuff. You're writing a whole different thing, but I think it's really cool you're doing the memoir thing because now you kind of got me wanting to do it too.
It's fun. You got to get it out. It's good release, I've learned. I've told so many stories on here and on the videos, but getting them out and at least having it here for my kids to read or whatever, grandkids, whatever. I just like to leave something behind and say, hey, this is why I'm who I am. And it goes back to what we were saying. I'm a little bit Elvis. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, this has been fun for me. And I hope these people have enjoyed it. And I know we've covered a lot of broad topics. I can't imagine sports would turn them off any worse than some of the other stuff.
That's true.
About.
Yeah, we can't do a true crime podcast every week. But
right.
Believe me, we've tried three or four times for other ones that just really didn't pan out for other documentaries.
That's right.
But this is what we wanted to do it for, man. This is one of my favorites.
This is awesome.
I'm telling you, because we just want to be able to sit down and have a conversation And, you know, it goes a little deep. I think, at least in my mind, hopefully it's coming off to everybody listening, that, you know, this will probably be titled, you know, Michael Jordan and some other things or whatever, but it's not really about Michael Jordan.
That's right.
You know what I mean? We're trying to go beyond that. Like,
there's a passion.
Know, there's a passion,
yep,
there.
There is. And that's, I hope we touched on it. And then started out light, and then we finished up like we always do.
Right.
I think it's going to come off as a good podcast if they make it this far.
I hope so. Hope so. So anyway, I guess we'll leave it there. Thanks for taking down this trip down memory lane. At least in my case, a lot. I know it was more about me. I guess I didn't really mean for that to happen, but James's fault.
I asked a lot of baiting questions.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan was my man. You know, compared to
that's right
to Wilt or whatever. But anyway, let us know what you think in the comments below in YouTube. This is again available on YouTube, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean. See, I remembered them all. See, it comes and goes.
There you go.
It really does. But if you do listen on those platforms, if you don't mind, give us a rating if you dig it. I really appreciate it. And if you can, please subscribe to the YouTube channel if you can, and leave us comments there. That's where we read the comments, and we respond to them.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, we'll let it go and let it fade to black.
See you later.
I lost my.